Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to this special Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we are celebrating the third biggest Christian festival behind Christmas and Easter. We're celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. It's otherwise known as the birthday of the Christian Church. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many people, and then he ascended up to heaven. He promised, as his last words, that although he was going away, he would never leave them. He would be with them, but in a different way. No longer as a man walking about with sandals and a towel on his head. He'd be with them invisibly in their hearts as the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't be confined to Nazareth in the first century. He'd be able to be with all the Christians everywhere at any time. So how is God with us? Well, you know, when you get peace in the middle of life's storms that defies the circumstance, like my first ever sermon, I remember the moment, that's him being in us. Or when you get strength beyond your own strength, like when you're at a cemetery in your grief. Or if you get wisdom beyond your own knowledge, when there's no reason why you should know it, but God somehow seems to guide and steer us. My dad saved his life once by slowing down the car for no apparent reason, but if he hadn't, he would have hit the tractor round the bend. And God gives us talents and gifts and skills. Like Eric Liddell, the famous runner, said, "I run for God who gave me the ability to run hard and well." I would say personally, I get creative inspiration from God's Holy Spirit. I start every Monday with a blank sheet and a blank mind, and by every next Sunday I've got to have a sermon. And then there's the prickings of conscience, our sense of right and wrong. MPs with their expenses maybe don't have it as sharp as some others, or bankers. But in all kinds of ways, Jesus is with us, but not visibly as an external presence, more invisibly as that presence within our hearts and souls. So try and keep in tune with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus will always be with us, holding us by the hand, as Don Francisco sings here.
Hide your fear, embarrassed by your weaknesses, afraid to let me near. I wish you knew how much I long for you to understand. No matter what may happen, child, I'll never let go of your hand. You've been forsaken by all you've known before. When you failed their expectations, they frowned and closed the door. But even if your heart itself should lose the will to stand, no matter what may happen, child, I'll never let go of your hand. The life that I have given you, no one can take away, 'cause I've sealed it with my Spirit, blood and word. The everlasting Father has made his covenant with you, and he's stronger than the world you've seen and heard. interfere to show them all the love I have for you. I'll be with you everywhere, in everything you do. Even if you do it wrong and miss the joy I've planned, I'll never, never let go of your hand. Life that I have given you, no one can take away, 'cause I've sealed it with my spirit, blood and word. The everlasting Father has made his covenant with you. He's stronger than the world you've seen and heard. Here to show them all the love I have for you. I'll be with you everywhere, in everything you do. And even when you do it wrong and miss the joy I've planned, I'll never, never, never let go of your hand. I'll never let go of your hand.
We need God to hold us by the hand because our life is full of bombshells. We can hear these words at times. You're fired. You've got cancer. She passed away this morning. Princess Diana was killed today in a car crash. A tsunami hit Japan. At moments like these, we can feel shell-shocked, helpless, weak, powerless, empty. We feel like trees in high winds with few roots. We feel like cisterns running dry. We feel like armies with all their troops in the front lines with no reserves behind. Our nervous strength is exhausted. We easily blow up and lose self-control. We become like ticking bombs and short fuses ourselves, and everyone around us knows that they're in an explosive situation. Life's bombshells include illness, bereavement, redundancy, crime, so many different things, and they leave us feeling flattened, gutted, powerless. Well, at this time when we're celebrating Pentecost, let's consider the good news that Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, comes into our lives and gives us strength and power beyond our own resources. There's a passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37. The scene is that of a battlefield with all the dry bones lying on the field, dead. And then God says to the prophet Ezekiel, tell the bones to rise up. And they do. And now it's a living, mighty army again.
Son of man, cry out to this dead horse. And when they come to life again, they'll know I am the Lord. And as I spoke what I was told, there came a rattling sound. As bone to bone they formed a mass of bodies on the ground. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all the dwelling in the dust will wake and shout for joy. Upon these slain to breathe. At once they stood upon their feet, a mighty vast army. A legion now alive, a resurrected army, a living holy host of a people born again. Your dead will come alive, their graves will lie abandoned, and all those dwelling shout for joy.
We cannot live on our own strength. Have you ever tried it? Then you'll see. That's not an academic statement out of books, it's just a fact of life. We cannot live on our own strength. Sooner or later it runs out, like a battery. People are designed to be like light bulbs, wired into the national electricity grid. People are designed to be like trees, with roots sucking up nourishment from the soil. Our spirits are not self-generating sources of life and energy. We are finite creatures. We have limits. There are limits to our patience, our wisdom, our energy, our willpower, our life. When we confine ourselves to ourselves, we become like closed pools of water, which can run dry. But when we live more open lives, we're more like sea bays, open to receive incoming tides. We can receive from other people and we can receive from God. We can receive support and encouragement, advice and ideas and stroking. Some people are like self-contained pools and they're in danger of drying up. Other people are like rivers. Their power does not begin and end in themselves. Their power seems to flow through them. Put another way, in the Bible, in Isaiah 40, it says, "They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles."
It must have been cold there in my shed. Never have sunlight on your face. You've been content to let me shine. You always walked a step behind. I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. Only a face without a name. I never once heard you complain. Eagle. might have appeared to go unnoticed. But I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I'd like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle, but you are the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my
That's Lee Greenwood singing the original version of The Wind Beneath My Wings. We just can't survive in our own strength, on our own resources. Trying harder and harder ultimately doesn't work. We tie ourselves in knots like a kitten entangled in a bowl of wool. The more we thrash and splash like a drowning swimmer, the less a rescuer can get near to help us and the quicker we drown ourselves. There's a story about a group of monks who went on holiday to the seaside and they were swimming when one of them got into difficulties and was crying for help as he was drowning. All the other monks looked at one of the monks who was a good swimmer and shouted to him to come and help. He didn't seem to do anything for a while, and then at the very last moment, as the guy was nearly drowned, he dived in and saved him. His pal said, "Thanks for saving him, but why did you take so long?" And he explained, "Well, when someone's drowning, they thrash and splash and they can hit you. And then two of you drown. You've got to wait till just the right moment when they've just about given up the ghost, and then you pounce in then and you get them." Sometimes I think God has to do that with us as well as other friends. If we could be still, then we would know that he is God and he'll uphold us. In the Bible, there's a story about Elijah, the prophet, and he was quite depressed and low when God spoke to him. God didn't speak in the big earthquake, in the wind, in the fire, and the great things. But after they were all past, there was a little whisper of a voice. When Elijah was calm and still, God got a word in, as Catherine Jenkins sings here. The bombshell of all bombshells must have been Jesus' death. The light of their life had gone out. The light of the world had been extinguished. The disciples were gobsmacked, devastated, gutted, and they retreated into the upper room, sad and numb. And then there were other bombshells, positive bombshells. Jesus appeared to them in the upper room. He appeared to them on several occasions. He gave them new life and energy and strength beyond their own strength. He made them come alive again. How do we get this strength? Well, it's not automatic. It doesn't always happen. We've no divine right to it. But the answer is not complicated. It's no great secret or mystery. Jesus tells us, ask and you'll receive. He's more willing to give than we are to ask. He told the disciples, go back to the upper room and watch and pray and wait. And his spirit would come upon them in his own good time, in his own sweet way. We can miss out on so much of life by not asking because of our Scottish independence. We can miss out on so much by not watching and waiting. No patience, some folk. We can miss out so much in life by not praying. We trust our own busyness rather than trust God's Spirit to come. Dr. Alexis Carroll said, as a physician, I have seen people after all other therapy has failed, lifted out of disease and melancholy by the serene effort of prayer. John Ruskin said of great artists, their power is not so much in them as through them. Geniuses have this in common. They're very sensitive, receptive, impressionable and absorbent. They feel inspiration and moods and energy sweep over them like waves sweeping over a surfer. Beethoven didn't choose music. Music chose Beethoven. Isaiah and Jeremiah felt that they had to prophesy and preach or they would burst. Preachers don't possess a word for Sunday. The word for Sunday possesses the preacher. The skill is not thinking up a sermon. The skill is in emptying yourself of your opinions and hobby horses and prejudices and high horses and being sensitive and receptive to what God once said. We're not on this planet to do and say and be this or that according to our own ambitions. We're here to be inspired and filled by God's Holy Spirit, to be used by Jesus for his purposes. So rather than us rush about like headless chickens, trying to solve all the world's problems with my will be done, why don't we just sit still for a moment and pray that his will might be done? Who is the genie of the lamp, after all? Is it that we rub hard and he pops up to help us? Or is it that he is God and we pop up to serve him? And when God's Spirit comes upon us, and our Pentecost experience ourselves, what happens? Well, look at what happened the first Pentecost. They were filled with joy and ecstasy, so much so that people looking on thought they were drunk. They were swept off their feet. They were possessed by God's Spirit. Not they possessed the Spirit possessed them. The wind was in their sails, and they were swept off to new horizons. They were given great boldness. They'd been in the upper room frightened and afraid. Now they unbolted the door, they went out into the public marketplace, and then they went from there throughout the whole world. They were given power, power to live and die for Christ. They were given wisdom and eloquence. God gave them the language and the words and the message to say. And they were successful. There were 3,000 converts on the day of Pentecost. The same Spirit of God can produce the same effects today in each of us and all of us together. So what we're truly celebrating at this Pentecost season is not just a historical event long ago in the lives of other people, but the daily experience in our own lives of having Jesus, his Holy Spirit, come upon us, giving us strength and life far beyond what we have as our own resources. So our time's run out, and I thank you for listening, and I wish you all God's richest blessings as he sweeps you off your feet too.
Every driver driving through the rush hour.